feel like we usually come off a lot more professional than we are right now.
I'm like, oh,
it's a fan. She's so around like that. Okay. So, Anna, at this point, I'm just going to ask you to tell me a little bit about yourself so I can get the levels right. But they look really good so far. Okay.
Like, what kind of things?
I feel like where you're from and...
Well, I was born in Minnesota, but I've lived in Arizona since I was 5, so pretty much a native Arizonan. And I live in
Scottsdale. How many kids do you have? Are you married? All that's...
I have 2 children. I am married. I have a 6-year-old and a 7.5-year-old.
I think it's good. You try them. Listen to it. Okay, so... tell me about how you met your husband.
I met him when I worked for Borders Books and Music, which I worked for them about 13 years, and bounced around to different stores, and I ended up working at the Biltmore store to follow an old boss.
Okay, great.
And
are you comfortable, like, how you're sitting, or do you want to adjust
that? I think I'm okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I think we're good then. All right. Well, that's interesting.
So... Do you want me to?
Yeah, I
want to
hear.
Okay. So I went and transferred to follow a boss, and I saw him in the back room, and it was one of those moments where, oh my gosh, that's one of the most beautiful men I've ever met. Like, almost like a halo or wings sprout. Like, and that is just not me at all. So I think you could call that love at first sight. I was like, oh wow. And, everyone liked him, so I didn't think he liked me. And I had a boyfriend of 10 years or more at that time. And I ended up deciding not to work there and transfer to a different store because I found myself staring at him from across the room, and I seemed to not be able to break up with my current boyfriend.
Wow.
So I should get out of there.
Powerful if you changed jobs.
So then I went and I would visit him in the pretext of visiting my friend for a while, but then he quit, and then I didn't have contact with him till he walked into the Tempe Borders. When I was in grad school, I worked at the Tempe store, and he walked in, and I immediately gave him all my contact information so that I wouldn't lose contact with
him. And you were broken up with the 10-year guy?
I was. I did have another boyfriend, though, that I immediately broke up with so that I could be with him.
How old is he? Are you guys about the same age?
Yeah, like within 2 months. So we're the same age. He has a, oh my gosh, the 23-year-old daughter. He had a child when he was 19.
Wow.
So I've got a stepdaughter. That's
is she
doing
some babysitting for you?
No. Because her mom had 2 children as well around the same time, a little earlier than us, and she lived with her mom in high school, so she got sucked into babysitting for them and kind of refused to offer us service.
I had a lot of siblings, so I never did any babysitting for anyone because it was just like part of my daily life, you know?
Anyway. You're like, no!
All right, so I think we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to actually...
You already started recording.
Oh, then I didn't introduce us. So when did I do that? Did I hit the button again?
Right, when you handed it to me, I think you pushed the button.
Oh. Okay.
But it's fine. I figured after...
Okay.
Now you can do the introduction.
And it's still the 16th?
17th.
Shit. I think I might have some sort of brain glitch when it comes to dates. Okay, so it's 17th. And now it is... Do you have a time?
It's like 11:30.
Okay. And what's... And how are we? Flavy?
Falvey.
Falvey? Okay, okay. Okay, so this is Forrest Elise interviewing Anne Howie Flavy.
Falvey?
Falvey.
And Howie.
Punchy. I have so many concerns in my head right now. Okay, so, and it is August 17th at 11:30. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and legitimately get started. Okay, so give us as many details as possible because, you know, we can always edit down, but we can't add.
Right.
And if you could also try to incorporate questions. So I'm going to ask you questions. And so if I say, like, you know, how much... Did you gain a lot of weight when you were pregnant instead of saying yes?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just, like, say, when I was pregnant, I gained whatever. and everything will be edited. So my questions will be taken out, pauses, things can be reordered if they get really out of order. So don't worry about any of that. Okay. Like, alleviate all of that stress, you know, and take your time, collect your thoughts. I have a prompt sheet, so if you want to glance down, I'd be like, oh yeah, that might jog your memory a little bit. But so to start off, we'll go like as far back as the conception.
Okay.
You know, and it was it planned? Was it not planned? You know. And you have multiple children, so you can talk about all of them, and you can do them chronologically. That's probably better for us than like going back and forth and
asking the questions again. Okay. So with my first child, I really wanted a child. I got married because my husband said, I don't think I want another child unless I'm married, because his first child he had when he was 19, he was not married. He married the mother like a couple years later, but it just didn't work out and only lasted a year or so. So he had told me when we were dating that if he had another child, he'd like to be married. So I got that in my head. I never was really interested in marriage until that point, so I kind of pressured him into marriage maybe a little faster than he would have on his own so that I could have a child. And my daughter was born 13 months after we were married, so it only took us a few months to have a child after getting married. And with my son, my daughter was born, and then 9 months later, I was pregnant again. So that was a little faster than I intended to get pregnant. I was going to wait about 2 years and then start trying, and no. It just happened the first time I wasn't careful in my life, the first time I hadn't taken extra precautions when I didn't want a child. So it worked out fine in that they're very close in age, 18 months, and he's bigger for his age than her, so they kind of look like twins, and they get along well.
So, so you really want a child, and you just were working on getting pregnant in that soon after getting married.
Right. It only took a few months of trying. 3 months? I'm trying to think. Yeah, about 3 months of trying.
Did you stress the trying, or did you just like...
Didn't stress the trying, but, you know, I went off birth control for like the first time in my, you know, adult life. I was very cautious and never wanted a child until I met my husband, you know, so... Like, I was never going to let that happen accidentally up until that point. So afterwards, I maybe pushed it a little more than I would have in terms of, but let's do it so we can have a baby sort of thing. A little more than normal, but I wasn't overzealous too, because we were just married. And my husband was like, well, we kind of need alone time. I was like, we don't have time for that, because I was almost 34 when we got married. And I had heard your chances of problems with conception just increase exponentially after you're 35. So I was really looking forward to having a child before I hit 35. And sure enough, my daughter was like born 3 weeks before I turned 35.
I'm going to pause for a second. Is there like a dripping sound somewhere? Are you getting that? It's in my head.
No.
You're hearing it too? Okay, I'm sorry. It is. Let me think. So, it's making me crazy. That. Yeah. I can't see what.
What is that?
It's like a frog in here? Can I ask how old you are now?
I'm 42.
I thought you and I were about the same age. You seem really young. Not that I'm really young. But anyway, so you were able to conceive like just under that 35 right. marker. And can you talk about, you know, if you first of all, tell me about your pregnancy experience, you know, in terms of the physically and emotionally, but then also let us know if you had a plan for the birth at all.
Okay. So I was a little bit nervous being almost 35 and having read way too much information about birth. I think if I had had a baby 10 years earlier, I'd be like, oh, no problem. Let's just see what happens. But I was like, oh, my gosh, there's so many things that can go wrong. I read way too much information. I had a lot of free time while pregnant to read. And so I was nervous about whether or not things were going well. But for the most part, they went fine. I gained a lot of weight. I think I let myself eat way too much, thinking, oh, I'm providing good nutrition to the baby with my daughter. So I gained a lot of weight. I'm not exactly sure how much, because at one point, a week or two before she was born, I bloated up, and my doctor was so busy because it was November, which is about 9 months after Valentine's Day. She almost had a breakdown when she's like, I can't deliver you this week. she's like, unless you go into labor, we're not having this baby this week. And I think I weighed about 50 pounds more than when I started that week. And then it dropped down, maybe lost another 10, I lost 10 pounds of just water weight. But at some point, I was really huge. And I wasn't really, is it preeclampsia, where it's very dangerous for the baby? It was nothing like that. I was just bloated. And so she wasn't going to deliver me early.
Were you miserable, or were you enjoying pregnancy?
I was a little bit miserable towards the end. I enjoyed the pregnancy for the most part. In the beginning, maybe a little bit sick to my stomach, but nothing bad. I think I enjoyed, like, the sense of, oh, this is going well because I'm a little bit sick. That's how you're supposed to be. I feel different. I embraced, like, feeling a little bit different, and that there was some kind of change happening in me. I liked that aspect of it. Towards the end, I was just huge, and I wanted her out. But with my son, he was enormous, and I wanted him out right away. About 3 weeks before I delivered, I just couldn't handle it anymore. I was so huge, and then he turned in my stomach and pressed on a nerve, and I lost use of my leg for a day or two. And I was trying to explain to the doctor where the pain was, and it was basically everywhere in the lower half of my body. And he's like, well, that's not even physically possible. Are you sure you're not deferring pain? And then I sat down and I traced the pain in my body. And I was like, oh, okay, he is right, that it's not one thing that's happening. I'm just, like, transferring the pain everywhere in my body. And my son was pushing on that main nerve on the spine, just disrupting feeling in my legs, and I had to have my mom and my mother-in-law come and take care of my daughter, who was, you know, still just a baby, really. You know, she was a year and a half old, take care of her for a few days.
Were you able to walk?
Did you just... Not really. I mean, it was so bad for a couple days, I couldn't even get around. There was no way I was going to be able to pick him up. And then it subsided. He moved. He was an enormous baby in my stomach. I knew he was going to be big. When he was born a week early, he was 10 pounds, 2 ounces. And I also had a lot of fluid gain with him. I didn't know until after the birth how much, but I had 2 or 3 times the amniotic fluid you're supposed to have. It was all baby with him. My daughter, I just got fat with him. I gained 40 to 50 pounds of all baby and all water, and I was back to my pre-pregnancy weight, like, within a week.
And you didn't have gestational diabetes or anything?
No, not. And I was tested because I was so huge with both of them, but no.
Okay, so we're starting to skip around. So,
oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's like totally fascinating. That's amazing. So then, Ashley, would you prefer if we talked about his conception or just move on to the daughter's?
I would say go back to the daughter.
Okay, we're going to go back to the daughter. I'll focus there for a while. Okay, so that pregnancy was enjoyable, and you put on the 50 pounds of enjoyment. And then had you planned on how you wanted her to be born, or?
I definitely was going to do it in a hospital. You know, I read about more natural ways, and I was not going to have any drugs unless it became necessary. I wasn't going to rule it out, though. I wanted a hospital, though, because I just was getting older and knew a lot of things can go wrong. So I wanted that safety. There's no way I wanted to do it in my house. That wouldn't have provided me any comfort. So
did you have like female role models? Was your mom around, or sisters or anything?
No sisters. My mom lives in town, and you know, I'm fairly close, not like best friend kind of close, but she's, you know, she's a good mom. You know, I like having her as an example, and bouncing questions off her and stuff. But I've never gotten into details, I think, about how her birthing experiences went. I'm just maybe kind of shy about that kind of thing. You know, now that I've had children, I'm much freer in talking about that and might, you know, bring it up with her, but we didn't really have those kind of conversations. But she was there, you know, like the baby's coughing, you know, what do you do sort of thing. But I don't think I asked her too much about pregnancy.
So were you just planning on having your husband with you during the delivery?
Yes. Just my husband in the delivery room. And I was going to do it with no drugs, if at all possible. And that lasted not very long with my daughter. I had to have her scheduled scheduled to be induced because I was about a week overdue and quite large. And the doctor finally said, okay, let's induce you. So when you have it scheduled like that for induction, they have you come into the hospital like at midnight or 1 o'clock on the day of your delivery. And so basically no sleep before you go in to the waiting room for that. And got induced and sat there for a while. My husband fell asleep, and I was like, oh, this is so easy, you know. And then, boom, got hit with really strong pains. Water broke, and my daughter was definitely pushing on some kind of nerve. And I, like, rang the bell. I want to talk to someone about my pain medication. And they're like, okay, we'll get to you. And no one came for at least an hour or so. And by that time, she had moved again, and I could actually talk and move. And I was like, well, I could probably do it without the drugs, but what if it gets worse again? What if that pain comes back? Never mind, I want the drugs. So I had them do the epidural just in case it was worse than that feeling. But I felt like, oh, I can overcome this. I'm growing used to the pain, and I can endure this, but let's just not chance it.
Did your water break, or did they break your water?
No, my water broke after I had been induced for several hours, and it was like unexpected, boom, because I felt no contractions, really didn't feel any kind of labor kicking in until that moment, and no pain until that moment.
So how many hours before you, were you getting like, were they testing, checking you for dilation and stuff before they gave you the epidural? Do you know how far along you were?
I don't know how far along I was when they gave me the epidural. Probably not too far along. My pregnancy was off to a slow start, really, after they had induced me and given me the medication to make the baby start coming. So it was slow going, and they'd check every hour or two, and I felt like, oh, they're ignoring me, you know, sometimes at a certain point. But I'm like, well, it's not going bad now that I have the epidural. It's not all that bad. And they kind of just left me alone, did a few checks here and there. But then around 7 o'clock at night, they're like, oh, the baby's not really moving. I'm going to have to go call the doctor. And I was like, oh, okay, they want the doctor's opinion. Everything doesn't look like it's changed all that much. And I've watched those baby shows where you can be in labor for days. So, all right. And they immediately come back in and said, the doctor says, you know, the baby's going to be in danger if we don't do a C-section right away. And I just went, what? And they're like, yeah, the baby's stuck, sweetie. We need a C-section. I was like, but we need to give it more time. We need to give it more time. They're like, no, the doctor really wants this to happen. And she's coming right in. And my husband just nodded at his head and said, okay. And I was like, no, what? And I felt like they were robbing me of my chance to have this baby naturally, you know? And so I was just really emotional, just bawling my eyes out and felt like I had no support from the hospital or from my husband in any way. He was just on their side, like, yes, let's just do whatever they say. And so I went into the operating room, still bawling and thinking that I wanted a little more time. And I understood there was a problem and maybe we should consider this, but I wanted to give it several more hours before we took the baby out by C-section. And they said, no, not enough progress was happening. And I just, in my head, I was like, no, the doctor wants to do this before midnight. You know, the doctor doesn't want to be here all night. And sure enough, the C-section happened at 9:30 at night. But as they were taking the baby out through C-section, I heard the doctor say, oh, yeah, there's no way that baby was ever going to fit. So, you know, I guess, like, they were right to do it, but I felt like maybe if my pelvis was different, it would have gone fine, and they robbed me of that opportunity to try.
So this is with your son?
Oh, no, this is my daughter, actually.
So she wasn't that big, was she?
Oh, no, but she has a large head. My daughter was like 8'2 when she was born. Just a really round head, though. She's not, you wouldn't think she has a large head, but her head, currently right now, she wears adult size hats. She can't wear children's hats anymore, and she's 7. Just a very round head. My son, I knew it wasn't going to happen naturally. And the doctor was like, oh, well, do you want to talk about VBACs? And I was like, yeah, but he's huge. And then she did an ultrasound and said, oh, yeah, sweetie, it's not going to happen. I was like, yeah, I agree. Let's not even try.
Yeah, that seems like really emotional, that first birth and like being rushed, and because it didn't seem like you had much time to even process the fact that you're gonna have major surgery.
No, I guess it did like take a few hours. It was probably 7:30-ish when they told me, and the doctor wants to do a C-section. She's coming in, and it was 9:30 when my daughter was actually born. But those 2 hours was like prepping and getting me ready for surgery and everything, and I was just bawling the whole time. Never really got the time to calm down. Yeah.
How long had you been laboring at that point?
They induced me at like
midnight.
So
from midnight to 7 p.m.
Right. So, you know, it's kind of a long time, but I had heard of being in labor for days, so I really didn't think that was long enough to try before doing a C-section.
Yeah. I could see how that would be, like, really distressing. So, and did you know if they would just kept, like, cranking up the Pitocin, or were you in, like, are you naturally having your own contractions at that point?
I think at that point I was naturally having my own contractions, but they weren't, I don't know that they were really strong enough to, you know, push my cervix open wide enough. You know, it seemed like the progress was so tiny that it didn't even register on their scale of, yes, you are progressing.
Did they say how many centimeters you were before you went into C-section? Were they like, oh, this isn't happening, you're like 4 centimeters, and it's been like, you know.
They did say, but I can't remember if it was 4 or 7 or what, you know, but it wasn't as enough to have a child.
Can you tell us about the experience then of like getting into the surgical room? And
sure. With the C-section of my daughter, you know, I was still traumatized from being told this was going to happen, and you know, probably still trying to soak up the tears as they talked to me about how the medication was going to happen and what I was going to feel. So I was only half listening, and as they gave it to me, my body just felt awful, and I felt like I was reacting strangely to it. Just couldn't control my body the way I wanted to. I knew I could move my hands and things. I had some control over my body, but it didn't feel like my body. And I was shaking so much that it was really distracting to have a thought about, like, the birth of my child. This wonderful thing was about to happen, but I was shaking so much, I just felt terribly ill, you know. And as it was happening, I could hear them talking. I could feel them pulling on my body. It didn't hurt, but I felt my body shaking on the table as they were cutting me open. And I heard the doctor saying, oh, yeah, there's no way this baby would have come out naturally. And I hear all these little conversations. But I did not feel like myself. I was shaking so much. And just, it was such a bizarre experience. And then as my husband held up our new baby, and I heard the baby cry, and you know, that moment of joy, I was still just like, ugh. I felt weird. And I remember my husband holding the baby up and almost like to hand it to me. And I was like, no, I can't hold, I don't want the baby, because I didn't feel like me. And I felt like I was going to drop the baby, or the, you know, and put the baby close to my face. And it felt weird because I think I had some kind of issue with depth perception for a little while, because I remember when I actually got to hold her after they took me back to my room, like, thinking her head was really big and like everything was a little strange, you know. So when he held up the baby right to my face, I was like, I wish I could enjoy this. Why is he so happy, you know? I guess I felt jealousy that, you know, he was having this wonderful experience and he got to stand behind the camera because I made him videotape and take pictures of the birth. That was his one job. And I remember telling him, even as I was going into C-section, you still have to do it, but I guess the video is not going to be any good. I don't care about the video. Just make sure you take a good picture of the baby. And my father had taken pictures of me being born in the 70s. And that was one of my prized photos, I guess, of me being held up right after the birth. So I wanted that, even if it was going to be a C-section.
So, you know, I'm not... So when they took the baby out in C-section, is the cord still attached and everything? Does the husband still get to cut the cord, or was there...
Yes, the cord's still coming, and but instead of out your vagina, out the hole it comes, and he got to cut the cord, and everything's normal on his end of what you get to do, like go over to the scale and see how big the baby is and everything.
Did you... So a lot of women will describe, like, the sheeted tent.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the tent right in front of you. I've been thinking of painting ideas that involve the tent because it's a ginormous barrier between you and the room. And I guess it has to be there because if I saw them tugging and pulling in the blood coming out, I'd probably get queasy because when I get a deep cut, like on a finger or something, and I see the tissue, I do get queasy and have to go sit down, you know, even though I love gory things and like the idea of blood and fascinated by those kind of medical things. I'm also repulsed, and I probably would pass out from just the scene itself as I watch my own body being dissected. But the tent is such a barrier. And especially since I was shaking so much and didn't feel like I was in my own body. It was very surreal, very weird.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, you know, to have... Are you, like, just seeing, like, people's heads at least over this, or...?
I'm hardly even seeing heads. I'm mostly seeing the room and a little bit of, like, motion of people walking back and forth, but I'm not really seeing them standing over me too much because of the tent. But I know they're there because they're coming in and out of focus.
Oh, that's really strange. And then, you know, when I think of that, or that, like, shaking feeling and stuff, and you normally would want to, like, you know, pull within and, like, bundle up or something, and, like, just try to, like, get normal. And it must be so weird to be like splayed out and just totally vulnerable. You know, I can't imagine.
Yeah, it just felt very bizarre to be in a room full of people that I wasn't interacting with. They were interacting with my body, kind of separate from me. And, you know, I'm one of those people that when I'm a little uncomfortable, I like to retreat and just get out of the situation. And there I am. They put me in this situation, was my feeling at the time. They didn't give me long enough to have the baby naturally, and they're doing this to me. Was kind of what was going through my head as this was all going on, and not being able to even like move my arms and touch my body, or like, you know, somehow wrap my arms around me or get small or something. You know, I just had to sit there, and my arms were shaking so much I did not have full control of them. I could just feel them moving back and forth, and like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that?
Did they ever explain to you, like, what happened? I mean, did they, like, oh, it's just normal? Or?
You know, I don't even think I asked. I was just like, that's horrible. With the shaking, I'm sure I got a tiny bit more of the numbing medication than I was supposed to, and was having a bit of a reaction, but I didn't convulse and, like, have a bad reaction that stopped the procedure, so it was, like, no big deal. I don't even know how much other people noticed how weird I felt. And I was like, I guess that's just what happens with C-section, and this is really horrible. But when my son came along, and I knew he was going to be huge, and I was going to just do another C-section, you know, I was like, okay, you know, at least I know what I'm in for. And when I had him, you know, it was all pre-scheduled. I didn't have to sit there in labor all day long before it happened. I had to go in several hours before the C-section, but as soon as it happened, you know, boom, he was out, and I did not have as much shaking. Like, I don't even know if I had any of the shaking. I think my body felt a little strange from the medication, but it felt like I had pretty good control of it. So I was like, oh, that was so easy. I love that, you know, and I'm a mom now. It's done. Second time around.
Yeah, can you explain, like, more, a little bit more about that? Because, you know, some people that are going through the process of labor and delivery, it's like 2 days later, and you've had so much time to, like, process the idea that you're going to have this baby in your hands. But it seems like with a scheduled C-section, it's like, you know. But maybe because it's scheduled, you, like, have a week to think about it.
Exactly. Yeah, I felt like with my son and it being scheduled and everything, I was really prepared for him coming home. I was ready for it because I knew I had to prepare before it happened, you know. And just in the hospital itself, it was just, you know, a little extra time waiting, but it didn't like amp up the expectations. And I was really large with my son and really ready to have him out. And just a lot of discomfort in my body from how big he was, and, you know, couldn't even sit or move right to make it comfortable, and I could feel every turn he made. So by the time he came out, and I, you know, that it was scheduled and it was so fast, you know, it felt so natural to have a C-section that way with him.
So with your daughter, after, you know, they stitch you up, and do they put you on a wheelchair, or do they like put you on a wheelie table and put you in a room and let you recover? Like, what is that process?
You know, that part after my daughter was born, how I got from the operating room back to my room is a blur. I think they put me on a gurney table and wheeled me straight from the exam room straight into bed again and gave me a little time with nothing to do but maybe recover my body from all the drugs that had just been given and, you know, from the surgery that just took place. It wasn't very long, though. I feel like after I was all stitched up, maybe half an hour before they brought her into me, and I got a hold of her. And by then, the drugs had worn off in my arms, that shaking, uncontrollable. I still felt a little out of sorts, but the moment I got to hold her, I was like, oh, yes, this is what it's about. I'm a mom now. You know, this is huge, and I have this thing, and I'm never going to let go. I just loved that moment that she got placed on top of me. And I remember my husband going, okay, you know, you nursed her enough now. The family wants to see her. And I was like, no, she still wants milk. I'm going to keep nursing her until she falls asleep. And she didn't fall asleep. She just kept nursing. And after about an hour and a half, my husband's like, come on, please, can you just stop nursing her for a little while? But as a new mom, I'm like, no, she's asking for milk. I'm going to give it to her. And, you know, I think I realized, oh, she just, you know, she's nursing and falling asleep and waking up a little. I guess I can part with her for a little while, but I didn't want to. I didn't want family coming in, people talking to me. I just wanted that moment of holding her. And I felt like that was my time. My husband got the wonderful excitement in the operating room of, like, you know, watching the baby come out and being held up and breathing for the first time. And I kind of got the side view glance of what that looked like and felt so awful that it wasn't enjoyable. But that was my moment when they laid her on top of me and I got to hold her, and I didn't want to let it stop.
Your lucky nursing was so good for you.
Yes and no. I mean, she nursed a lot. Probably maybe she wasn't getting a lot at a time, but yeah, it went fine in terms of I didn't have to give her a bottle very much at all when she was growing up.
That's great. So do you remember, like, the first time you saw your scar or, like, showering or, you know, how does that all...
When I first saw the scar...
Or, I guess it wasn't a scar at that point.
Yeah, when I first saw the incision, it was all bandaged up for me. And when they had to change out the dressing, it was the first time I got to see what had actually happened. And I was impressed on how tiny it was, considering this 8-pound baby just came out of there. The worst part of it was where they had put the medical tape to hold the bandages in. And the scar itself looked kind of gruesome, but not horrible. It looked fairly clean, even though it had, I don't know if it was the stitches, I think, or staples. You know, those were very obvious against my white skin. And a little bit of crusty blood, but I was kind of impressed on how tiny a scar it was. And where they had removed the tape was much worse in terms of pain and the feeling than the actual incision.
I totally understand that about the tape part. Yeah. So much worse a lot of times, the Band-Aid stuff. But so then you were able to shower like normal and...
I don't remember if I was allowed to shower right away. I don't even know if I wanted to, you know. I felt grungy, but I felt like maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be. I don't think I got in the water for quite a while. But it's all a blur, really.
The incision never opened up or anything. It just healed up fine and it was not an issue.
No, the incision was pretty easy to take care of. It might have gotten a little puffy in one area compared to the rest, but it definitely looked like it was healing the way it's supposed to heal. So I was very lucky in terms of that, because if it had gotten, like, infected and then trying to hold your baby and just move with this new child that you're afraid to walk across the room because you might drop it because it's so precious and sweet, you know, I couldn't imagine if... I had an infected wound, how I would be able to take care of the baby and deal with being stuck in a hospital room for days.
Yeah. So how many days were you in the hospital?
2 or 3. I think I was in the hospital 2 or 3 days. I think they would have let me go home after like a day and a half or 2 days, but I was like, oh, well, the nurses are here. Let's stay here one more day because I'm wondering how I'll feel once I get home and don't have as many drugs being given to me.
Yeah, so were you given, like, a prescription for painkillers and stuff? Or?
They gave me a prescription for painkillers, which I really hadn't taken any painkillers in my life. I had surgery when I was a tiny baby, but never any kind of major surgery for myself and no major aches or pains that required drugs. So taking painkillers was a strange experience for me. That I was like, oh wow, I kind of like that it takes everything away. This feels good, yeah. But I also wondered, like, how long this could continue. And I was like, this is fine though, I like it. Until I realized they make you constipated. Nobody told me that until I had already taken the pain medicine. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, you can give me more pain medicine. I have a little ache here. Yeah, let's give me some more. And then they told me it makes you constipated. And I was like, oh, okay. I should get off of these because you're not going to let me out of the hospital unless I have a bowel movement.
Seriously, though, the constipation probably keeps a lot of people from becoming addicted to pain.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, what was life then when you did get home from the hospital?
When I got home, my husband was a little bit doting, but mostly family kind of swooped in and were doting for a few days or weeks. I can't remember how long my mom stayed, but I think she stayed with us for quite a while with the... actually, with my first child, I think she stayed with us a few days. When I had my second child, my mom stayed with us and was very doting for a few weeks because I had a 1.5-year-old that I wasn't allowed to hold the way I had been holding because I had a C-section. I wasn't even technically supposed to pick up the 10-pound, 2-ounce baby that I just gave birth to in his car seat, you know. He was heavier than what I was allowed to carry. So I had my mom come in, and then my mother-in-law was pretty helpful, too.
10 pounds. Did they... Was that just... There was no reason behind
it? I knew my son was going to be big because my husband was very large. He was in the 10-pound range. His brother was 11-pound natural birth from my mother-in-law. And my family is not small in terms of the birth weight either. I think I was about 8 pounds. My brother was 9, almost 10 pounds.
It's so funny how there's like no correlation between birth weight and adult weight.
I know.
Size at all. Well, that's totally fascinating. Okay, so then with your son, did you stay in the hospital? Was it the same routine after your daughter once you had the C-section?
I think with my son in the hospital, everything was maybe a sped up version of what happened with my daughter. Everything seemed to go a little smoother, probably because I knew what was happening, and time seemed to go a little faster because I wanted to get home to my daughter then, because that was the first time I'd been away from my other child for the birth of him, you know. And everything seemed to go pretty well with, like, the second C-section. It didn't create any more of a messy surgery or anything. I healed fast. They let me take him home pretty fast. He was jaundiced, but not so bad that they worried. He had torticollis, which is when your neck is so squished from being in uterus that your muscles and everything are shaped incorrectly. And he had that right away. And what's wrong with that? And I'm like, oh, no problem. He'll grow out of that.
Did it look different to you than, I mean,
yes.
You
see it? When you have torticollis, you basically hold your neck sideways quite a bit, depending on how bad it is. But, you know, he was always leaning his head in one direction. And you can push the head up to try and straighten it out, but the baby might cry because it's painful to go straight, like, or all the way the other direction. The muscles are trained incorrectly because he was so huge in my tiny body that his neck just wasn't in the right position. And he went to therapy for months and months. I think from age 6 months to a year, he went to physical therapy because it was still there. And I notice every time he cries now that he's six, he leans his head in that direction. I call it his fetal position. As soon as he gets upset, he just leans his head that way. It's like a natural response to like being uncomfortable.
Did you feel like you knew their personalities at all when they were in the womb? Or
I don't think I felt their personalities in the womb too much. My daughter kicked and moved a bit, and it was very fluid, and it would happen, and everything. My son, it was so cramped in there, I felt like he was busting out. Like, every move he made, like, stretched my skin and hurt a bit, but he didn't make that many moves, probably because he didn't have any room to. But I didn't get a sense of who they were until when they were born. I think it was pretty apparent right away.
And they're close now?
They're close. They fight. But they also get along most of the time.
That's nice. My neighbors have two little girls, and they're like 18 months apart or something. But they have to, you know, one of them wants whatever the other one has, then they have to buy like two of everything. Right. I always look at that, I think, oh, no. Yeah. It's hard enough as it is. But it's nice that they get along.
Yes.
So, any additional babies in the
No, parks? I think I'm done. You know, having two and then my stepdaughter, my husband is done after three and I'm done after two. I don't want to take chances, like, with the possibility of complications and things going wrong. And my body is just, like, exhausted taking care of the two children I have. Could not imagine starting all over again with a baby that needs that 24-hour, like, ear open. I'm just now feeling like, oh, yeah, the kids are fine. I don't have to listen every moment of their lives. I don't want to go back to starting fresh again.
I love the idea of utilizing that tent. Is it a white sheet or is it, like, green? What is in the operating room?
I was looking at pictures of my daughter's birth, and there was a blue kind of tent in front of me. I think it's just a blue sheet that they kind of, like, clamp up with makeshift clamps from other parts of the hospital. It doesn't seem like it is a set, stable thing that is your tent when you're having a C-section. It just looks like, yeah, let's put a tent up with some of these clippy things, and there you go.
That image reminds me so much of that magic trick, you know, with the woman on the table and they, like, separate the legs and the body. Because you probably do feel, like, so disconnected from that side of you, you know. And then there's also that barrier, which makes it seem even, like two separate halves.
Right, yeah. The first C-section with my daughter, it did feel like that curtain kind of was separating me, cutting me in half. And I could feel them tugging and moving the lower half. I could feel them doing things, but it was not part of me. It was very, very disconcerting and, like, separating me from the whole process, that big tent in front of me.
Yeah. I was really worried they'd C-section me because I was induced also. So I never had, like, a natural contraction. And I was worried it was, like, not going to progress fast enough and stuff. But it ended up being fine, you know. As fine as it can be. Vaginally is just as traumatic.
Oh, I know. Yes.
I don't know if this, you know. Although we've heard some really good, you know, comforting ones. But I think that it's really surprising how, like, just strange the process can be. Like, not traumatic. Not that it's, like, traumatic, but that is just strange and, like, surreal, or, you know, mm-hmm. that even if you know every step of the process, you know, when it's happening to you, it just feels like the strangest thing, like you're the only one that's experienced it that way, you know. But I don't know, have you talked to other women that had C-sections? Did they relate to your story at all?
I don't know if I've told my story that much. I'm not sure how different, I mean, I guess I've told my story, but I haven't heard too many other people get into details about their C-section and whether or not they had a reaction to the drugs. I've definitely heard people having a reaction to the drugs during surgery itself. But the combination of having that at the same time as the birth of your child, I think made it a little more traumatizing, and like I overplayed it in my head how weird it was, because I wanted to hold my child, but then I didn't want to hold her because it felt like it wasn't my body.
Yeah, and I mean, I would think that you're it's like a super emotionally heightened state, and then you have this something that's making you not think correctly.
Yeah, sure, I was so emotional because I didn't want a C-section, and I felt like I was being pressured a little too soon and thought I needed a few more hours to progress, and I was being convinced it had to happen now, and then the drugs made my body feel different, and I was just in a super heightened emotional state, you know, like bawling for the hour or two before the C-section, and then even after, like, I don't think I was bawling, but I felt like my face was puffy from all the tears I had shed before the C-section, and just that like state where you've been crying and any little thing is going to set you off. That was how I felt until I actually held my daughter. I was in that like, don't say a word or I'm going to cry, until I held her, and then it kind of disappeared.
Have you talked to your husband at all about, you know, feeling like he wasn't on your side during that?
With the birth of my daughter, my husband fell asleep while I was being given the medicine to induce me in a tiny, tiny waiting room in a lounge chair in front of the bathroom. And he had it propped all the way open. So as they gave me this medicine, he was sleeping in this tiny room, and I had the explosion of my water breaking and my daughter pushing on my spine, causing this severe pain, and he was just sleeping, and he wouldn't move. I couldn't get him up. I could hardly scream. I was in so much pain, but I was like hitting him and like trying to make noises and explain my water. It hurt. I'm in pain, and it took a very long time in my mind. I'm sure it probably didn't, but in my mind, it took a long time to get him to move out of the chair so I could get to the bathroom to even see what was going on with my body and the water breaking. It was just my guess that the water had broke, but I didn't know if more was coming or what I wanted in the bathroom, and I could hardly get there. So after that, I felt like my husband wasn't on my side. You know, he was able to sleep during this thing at all, made me uncomfortable. What was that?
And then also you had said that he was on their side with being like, yes, we're going to C-section.
And then he was on their side with, yes, you know, it's going too slow. The doctor thinks it's best for a C-section. You have to do it. I felt like he was pressuring me. I'm like, what? You're supposed to be on my side. And then in the delivery room, you know, he got the good side of it in terms of I could see how happy he was. And he had also had another child before, though, so he had this comfort level with the whole thing that I was like, how can that be? Well, after I had my second child, I understood that there is a big difference. The second time around, you do know a little more about what's going on. And he's confided in me that he was worried about the C-section and what could happen. And, you know, he was very concerned, but I didn't notice that at the time. I thought he was just being lazy or on their side.
Okay, so, like I said, we're separating these stories into themes. And so we're asking people at the end to see if they can come up with a term, word, or phrasing of words that kind of summarizes their experience. You know, what you would reflect on it. You know, I know it's like a super challenging question. But it's surprising what people come up with. They're really interesting.
I'm not good at these kind of phrases. Yeah, it takes me a while to envelop the idea into a phrase. You know, I've been trying to paint or sketch ideas or come up with ideas about birthing experiences, and they're always mixed emotions. You know, there's this sense of the joy and wonder of the moment I got to hold the child, but then there's the bizarre sense of how weird things were in the hospital room, having it not naturally, having a C-section. To wrap it up in a few words, like scary joy is what happened with my first child especially. You know, the whole time I was very happy. I was finally going to be a mom, and it was all going according to plan. You know, my plan of ever since I met my husband, yes, I should have a child, but I need to have it right away because I'm getting old. The plan was in its works. It was going great. But then being nervous, anything could set this balance of like everything is great just right on its head. Any little medical problem leaves you up, you know, all night worrying about the next, you know, 20 years with this baby that you've brought into the world. So scary joy is what my experience was.
I think that makes perfect sense. I completely relate to that one. Absolutely. Just the mix of emotions. And there's that, the unknowingness too, that makes it sure. A little scary anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, I would go back and forth with my pregnancy. With my first child, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm having a girl. I was such a tomboy. I don't know what to do with a girl. I don't know how to play with a child. Why did I decide this was a really good idea? I finally had decided not to be scared and just I was going to do it. But then once I was pregnant, I was like, I don't know how to take care of a girl. I guess I want a boy. And I was like, oh my gosh, boys are so much trouble. They get into everything. And then just having a brother who died of an overdose made me the idea of like raising a boy. Oh my gosh, how am I going to, you know, be able to control someone with a substance abuse problem or anger issues? And I don't want to bring a boy into the world. I guess I want a girl, but I don't know how to play with a girl.
Yeah.
And I ended up with one of each, so it all kind of balanced out.
You were really lucky about that, though.
Yes, I was lucky because I don't think I would have kept trying, but I really wanted a boy and a girl.
All right, I think we're good. Okay. Yeah? Ashley, have any other... Okay, all right.